KQQZ 1190 AM sincerely thanks you for your patience and decency. Now, back to our regular scheduled programming.
Beware. Beware. This is a warning. The Grim Reaper of Radio, Bob Romanek, with his off-the-record show, is about to air. He's probably the nastiest and craziest son of a bitch that you've ever had the misfortune to encounter. The Grim Reaper show will be very controversial and probably quite tasteless. If you are even slightly offended by controversial matter concerning religion, racial matters, politics, or life's problems, you are hereby warned to turn this program off immediately. The Grim Reaper show will be, like his face, very scary and very ugly. At this time, not proudly, but shamefully, presents to you Bob Romanek, the craziest son of a bitch on the radio today.
The nurses all gathered round, and they gazed in wide wonder at the joy they had found. The head nurse spoke up, said, "Leave this one alone." She could tell right away that I was bad to the bone, bad to the bone, bad to the bone. Bad, 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 bad to the bone.
This is Bob Romanek, the Grim Reaper of Radio, and you're listening to the all-new KQQZ 1190 AM Insane Broadcasting, America's bi-state voice of freedom, Renegade Radio. And as always, we are proud, very, very proud to be the Patriot.
Let's go with it. People, this is Bob Romanek, the Grim Reaper of Radio, and as always, a great, great day today, as every day. I hope everyone had a memorable, not a happy, of course, but a memorable Memorial Day. And I just wonder, you know, I drove all over St. Clair, Madison, actually Monroe, Clinton, Washington, and Jersey County, and just about every place I went, the flags were flying at full staff at 9:30, 9:45, 10 o'clock, 10:15, 10:30, 10:40, 10:50, 11 o'clock, 11:15. Only two places, the radio station, and I have to give this ass white bastard credit. And the only reason he did it, because he listens to the show and knew it was a proper thing to do. I have to give credit to Mark Maximus Vaginas, the big pussy, Eckert, the much failed mayor of Belleville. He was the only municipality statewide in the area we were at, citywide, that had their flags at half staff up until noon. So for that, Mayor Eckert, I'll give you a compliment. Thank you very much. That's what was supposed to be done. We did it at the radio station. You did it. The county didn't do it. We drove by several times. And Mark, the big faggot Kern, the failed St. Clair County Board Chairman, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. You no good rotten bastard. Those flags flew at full staff all day, all night, all day the next day. They were never brought down. Now, when you call, that idiot's going to say, well, somebody's going to get in trouble because it should have been done. It should have been done. That's bull crap. It wasn't done because he didn't want it done, or he didn't think about it, or he forgot about it, or he just didn't give a damn. So I want to tell you, Mark, the big faggot Kern, just remember, you no good son of a bitch, there's another election coming up, and I think people are tired of what you've done. I think people are tired as to what Bob, I'd rather piss in my pants than piss in a urinal, Sprague have done to screw this county the last 10, 12, 15 years. And I just hope all good Democrats and all good Republicans will research before they go out and make a vote come 2020, because it's going to be one hell of an election. I hope, and I'm voting for Trump. I'm not telling you people how to vote. Never have, never will. But I hope you follow all the good and all the bad on all the candidates. I actually believe that the Democrats will tear each other up enough that it's not even going to be close. Of course, I could be wrong. Things change in a matter of a day in politics throughout this great country. That's what makes this country so great. But I just want to let you know, out of all the areas that we win in all the counties, only the radio station and the city of Belleville did it the right way. Mark, the big faggot Kern, Bob, I'd rather piss in my pants than piss in the urinal, Sprague, and all these rotten bastards, they did it the wrong way. Of course, they do it the wrong way year after year after year, and it just pisses me off when I hear bastards say, well, they haven't done a bad job. The hell they haven't. They haven't done anything for this county in the last 20, 25 years, 30 years that I know of, and probably longer. And I think you people understand what's going on, what's been going on. But they always want to cry. They always want to bitch. They always want to moan and groan. Elect the Democrats. You heard that crap in Madison County for how many years? 40, 50, 60? Finally, the Republicans did some work. They've got a Republican county board chairman. They've got some Republican county officials. And I just hope it stays a two-party system. I don't give a damn if one party has one more vote than the other. As long as it's close, we'll be in a lot better shape. You know, in the state of Illinois, supermajority for the House of Representatives, supermajority for the state Senate, the governor, the lieutenant governor, they're both Democrats, so all the appointments will be Democratic appointments. And these rotten, no good, no count, good for nothing bastards, now you know what they want to do. They want to start where they have a new graduated income tax. Now that comes from Pretzler. He's a no good, ignorant, no count, good for nothing, rotten son of a bitch that's worth a couple billion dollars. Of course, Rauner was the same. I think Rauner actually tried to do something that was fairly decent for the state of Illinois. I don't think it worked out too well, because at the end of the day, the Democrats are in charge. At the end of the day, it's going to be what the Democrats say, unless when it's put on the ballot in 2020 to have a change to a graduated income tax, unless the good people in this great state of Illinois understand what's really behind that. If they understand, they'll vote it out. They'll vote no. If they don't understand, they'll probably vote yes. And when they do, that's going to be a big, big detrimental thing for the great people of this once great state of Illinois. And Pritzler, I don't know if he gives a damn or what the hell's going on, but he's really talking the talk. Now, he can walk the walk because he's got the supermajority. He's going to sign it all. So it's not going to be a problem getting any of that crap in the law, but they say the Illinois lawmakers have 5 days to settle 5 big issues. I guess the first and foremost would be the balanced budget. He plans on a 2020 fiscal year, still breaks on $212 million additional from sports and $170 million in addition from licensing fees for marijuana and the retailers. Now that's a lot of damn money. That's about $330 million extra just on those two things there. And to keep it going, he wants a graduated, as we talked before, graduated income tax. which will go up. He said he promises it will generate $3 billion more annually, while most taxpayers would not pay more. Now, I want to tell you, if it generates $3 billion more, you're going to see these businesses that employ all these employees in this once great state of Illinois, they're going to be taking their businesses to other states, to Missouri, to Indiana, to Kentucky, to Wisconsin. They're going to take them any place to get out of this big tax thing. Now, the governor says, well, it's not going to be a real big deal. It is going to be a real big deal, because all these people, the 3 or 4 or 5%, whatever they say, they're going to pay a lot more taxes, over $3 billion. That's with a B, $3 billion in taxes. Do you honestly think that they're going to stick around Illinois if they can go someplace else that has decent tax rates? You wouldn't do it as a business owner, and I guarantee you, they're not going to do it. He's got a construction plan to build all kind of roads, and I'm happy for all the laborers, because they'll make some money. It'll be a $41 billion state construction program. That puts all the construction people to work, and that's good. But at the end of the day, when this money's spent and it's gone, then what are we going to do? More roads, more construction? We can only have so much roads and construction projects going on in the course of a year or 2 years or a five-year span. I think that in itself will be a negative that'll come back to bite Pritzker and Mike Madigan. Sports betting. I told you he's going to try to make a plan to get all this money in sports betting like they have in other states. And they say there's no shortage of discussion on a proposal to legalize sports betting after the United States Supreme Court okayed that outside of Nevada in a ruling last year. So they've heard hours of testimony. And what they also want to do is they want to expand the existing gambling casinos, like featuring new casinos in places such as Chicago and its south suburbs, Rockford and Danville, and establishing table games that horse racing attracts. That could be revived also this next week. And then, of course, the catch-all, the medical and recreational marijuana. Now, you know, we already have medical marijuana. Now they're going to push for marijuana to be legalized for recreational use. And I honestly, I don't smoke. I don't care who smokes, who does what. It's their business. But they're urging proponents to slow it down. It's frustrating Democratic sponsors who they say have worked publicly on this issue for years. So it says there's a plan to limit homegrown to 65,000 medical marijuana program patients has yet to be filled. So what they're preaching is that this medical marijuana, this recreational marijuana, without the marijuana, it's going to cost us a small fortune. And I honestly think at the end of the day, I think it's all going to come back to bite us, because 10, 15, 20 years down the road, do you good people honestly think that marijuana is going to be a savior? Think it's going to be a savior to anybody? Hey, lines are open. We are America's voice of freedom. Definitely the Patriots. You can call toll free 1-888-394-1430 on the east side, 394-1190. I want to say hello to our good friends at New Memphis Station Bar and Grill. Cliff Thompson, he's the owner-operator. They're having a great, great, great big crawfish boil this coming up Saturday, June the 1st. It'll start at 2 p.m. They're going to have fresh crawfish, potatoes, corn on the cob, and all the other fixing. There's going to be other drink special outside events going on. So New Memphis Station is right on 161. You go through Muscoota. You keep going east like you're going into Oakville. You come through New Memphis, and about 2 miles out of New Memphis, you'll see New Memphis Station. And to your right, you'll see a big place. It sits in the back a little bit, but I don't think you're going to be able to miss it if you get there anytime after about noon on next Saturday, June the 1st. But it's a New Memphis Station Bar and Grill. Their crawfish boil, again, will be held this Saturday, June the 1st, starting at 2 p.m. I don't have a telephone number. I wish I did. If I did, I'd give it to you. If you have any information, wanted to call Cliff and see what the hell's going on, we may get it for you in the near future. And if we do, we'll pass it along to you. I don't know where the hell I want to go first. There's so much crap that's been going on. You know, we don't talk too many national issues, but it really pisses me off when I read in the paper sometime, and I don't know why these newspapers can't be just fair and equal. Every one of them. Now, this is Jill Cowler from the Associated Press, that President Trump blurs line between governing the United States of America and campaigning. Now, I have to say to all that, I don't think there's any president, I don't think there's any candidate for president, when he's talking about what's going on in this great country, hasn't said what he's going to do if he gets elected or if he gets reelected. It says that all presidents benefit from the trappings of the office, but as Trump heads into his turbulent reelection campaign, historians and observers are wondering just how far the president might be willing to go in using his level of presidential power, from the Pentagon to the Justice Department, to energize his supporters and help bolster his election chances, especially if the polls are tilting against him. Now, you know, that's one reporter. How many reporters are there in this great country? But they're going to sit back, every one of them. You got CSNBC, NBC, ABC, everybody but Fox News. And I said last week, Fox News has come to the point where they're starting to be a little bit too liberal for me. So I don't know where the true conservatives are going to go in this great country. We're going to have to stay here at KQQZ. We're going to have to find other radio stations throughout this country that don't mind taking the heat, because we will get heat. But it's amazing. It's amazing that we let this crap happen. But this Associated Press article was really something. It says here, I do think a lesson that he probably took from the midterms is his ability to put things in motion as president that he can do that affect the electorate, especially its base. It says, if you start using those powers for political reasons, then you raise questions about your motives. Well, I think every president, every presidential candidate has always used the podium for political reasons, along with the reasons of governing this country. I remember Kennedy. I remember Nixon. I remember Barack Obama. Definitely remember Bill Clinton. I remember all these rotten bastards. And 9 times out of 10, if not 10 out of 10, they always had something to say politically that played into their hand, but they used it and they continued to use it. But for the St. Louis Post disgrace to run this article from the Associated Press to talk about what a bad guy President Trump is, what a bad job he's done, all the things he's promised everybody, and hasn't been able to get much of it done now after his first 2 years, because the Democrats control not the United States Senate, they control the United States House of Representatives. They have more votes, so apparently nothing's going to get done till after this next election. And I just hope the good people of this great United States understand that. And I hope they understand that it doesn't make any difference if somebody's a Democrat or if somebody's a Republican. It makes a difference what they're going to do for this great country. Now, I don't agree with everything Trump's done. I didn't agree with everything any president's done. But what you have to do, you have to take the wholeness of what's going on and say, is this guy better for our country? Is this guy better for our nation? And if he is, then I would think and I would hope that's who you'd vote for. Don't give a damn what race he is. Don't give a damn what political persuasion he is. You need to vote for the best candidate. When you say black and white, you can't say black and white in presidential elections. You can't say black and white in any elections anymore. Because when you have a half black, and I know he says black, but when you have a half black president and President Obama, and he plays that, you know, I'm the first black, I'm the first this, you know, that stuck with me. It stuck with me hard, and it pissed me off. And I think it pissed a lot of proud people, not just white people. I think it pissed a lot of proud black people off to have this no good son of a bitch say, hey, what the hell is he talking about? What is he talking about? It pisses off white people. There's a lot of proud black people, and guess what? It pissed off a lot of proud black people. And I think before it's all over, you're going to see where President Trump's going to get a lot more. He's not going to get the majority of black support, I guarantee you. But he's going to get a lot more support in 2020 than he got in 2016. And I think you can see that day in and day out. I also read another article coming out of the wonderful St. Louis Post-Disgrace that lawmakers target race-based 911 calls. Now, this is big headlines, top fold. Talks about the hashtag Living While Black went viral the last 2 years, and they're all pissed off because they're saying that everybody is mad because the blacks are trying to get even with the whites, and the whites are pushing back. Now, I don't know where all this crap's been, but every place I've been, if you're black in this area, in the areas I've been in, and if you're black, you're definitely even, if not ahead of the game. And it says here, there's now, it says in the city of 200,000 in Grand Rapids, Michigan, could be among the first in the country to make such calls illegal. A proposed ordinance would make it a criminal misdemeanor to racially profile people of color for participating in their lives and subject the people that make the calls of fines up to $500. Now, you know what they're telling you. If you're white, you can't call in on black. That's exactly what they're telling you. They've been telling us that for the last 10 years, 15 years, they pushed it. White people are afraid. White people are afraid to come out. White people say, hey, I'm going to let it go. It doesn't involve me. If it doesn't involve me, I don't want to play. But how many times sooner or later, in the scheme of things, is it going to come back to bite you? And it will come back to bite you. It says you can't ignore the color. You can't ignore the people of color that are the ones who have been victimized. That's a part of the pattern. Now, I still, for the life of me, don't understand. What about all the blacks that victimize the blacks? You don't hear about that day in and day out. What about the 17, 18 shootings in St. Louis over the holiday weekend? There was three or four dead, but there were 17, 18 shootings in St. Louis alone this last holiday weekend, this Saturday, Sunday, and Monday of this holiday weekend. You don't read that in the paper. I don't see that on the front page. Hell, that ought to be on the front page. No, but they want to talk about all the whites who are targeting the black. It says this one legislator, she's now the state's only black legislator in and I don't know what state we're talking. She's the only state black legislator. She's introducing a bill that will allow victims of racially based 911 calls to sue the caller in small claims. Now, what is that going to do? Do you think, number one, I don't believe white people want to get involved in a hole anyway, but now this is going to make it worse where whites are going to say, hey, that's a black on black crime. That's a situation that I don't know if I want to even be part of. So they're going to sit back. They're going to sit back and say, what the hell? We don't want to get involved in this. And I think the proud blacks will say the same thing. But it's unbelievable. It says making a false crime report is already illegal in many parts of the United States. Another is that although it's relatively easy for police to show up at a crime scene to determine that there was no crime, it's hard to determine whether the 911 caller was acting in a racist manner to make the report. I don't understand that. It says we don't want to thwart people from calling when they think there's something suspicious in their neighborhoods, but we do not want it to be racially proxy. We can do both. Whether we need new laws, this gal says, I don't know. But can you see the situation, people, where when it's black on black, nobody gives a damn. When blacks kill the blacks, nobody gives a damn. When the blacks kill the whites, nobody gives a damn. But when the whites come after the blacks, then you're talking all this racial nonsense. And to me, it just really, really pisses me off. And I think all you good people, both proud white and proud black, you guys have been around long enough. You know what the hell's going on. I don't have to tell you anything that you haven't witnessed, anything that you haven't seen time after time after time. But they're going to put it in the Associated Press. They're going to put it in the St. Louis Post-Disgrace. And they're going to think that we're going to sit there and just take all this crap. I say to that, I say to that, I'm tired of putting up with the crap, and I think the proud people of this great country are tired, both black and white, but we'll have to see how that prevails here in the next election. I want to go again to the federal level. It says the White House is, this is from a decent article, White House, then it says, Barr will find outrageous corruption by FBI. Barr will find outrageous corruption by FBI. Now, this is a great big article talking about our Attorney General, William Barr, that he's going to find all the unflattering things in the report of Special Counsel Robert Mueller, including several episodes that might have been construed for obstruction of justice. And it says here, the Attorney General has been authorized to investigate the investigation. And they said that they would like to have a long insistence on the FBI how they improperly spied on the president's campaign. Now, I believe at the end of the day, this is going to get nasty. They're going to try to make some kind of level to impeach Trump. It's not going to go because you know the Senate's not going to be for it. But as always, there's going to be a big ruck-a-ma-duck about who's done right, who's done wrong. But I'm hopeful, and I really think that the Attorney General, and I think he's an honorable man, I think he'll help get to the bottom of this. Now, I think Trump's going to have to stay out of it, and I think he should stay out of it, and I think all the political people on both sides of the political aisle should stay out of it. Of course, you know that's not going to happen, but it's just amazing how you can sit there and read all this crap that went on, all this crap that they said, that the Democrats said, oh, no, that's obstruction. After 2.5 years of total bull crap, they've come to find out that there wasn't obstruction. But now they think there may be something else, and then if that's not true, there may be something else. And if that's not true, there still may be something else. So we're going to have to decide at some point in time where we're going with this. And I think when it's all said and done, it's going to be a cluster screw, because the Democrats aren't going to be able to prove anything against Trump. And I honestly don't think that Trump and his White House are going to be able to prove much or if anything about the Democrats in Washington, D.C. So I think at the end of the day, what we're going to have is the Democrats saying what the Republicans have done, and there still needs to be further investigations. And I think it'll be the Republicans saying, hey, look what the Democrats have done, and I think we need to investigate the investigators. Now, again, at the end of the day, I don't think there's going to be any situation to get any legs at all. I think the biggest thing is both sides are going to try to make it a big deal. Both sides are going to try to say that the other side screwed it up. And you know as well as I do, there's nobody that's had the political fight against them like Donald Trump has had in the last 2 years. Again, not perfect, not even close to perfect. I don't know when the last time I've seen anybody in any kind of politics, from the city halls in these small towns, to the state houses, to the governor's mansions, to the White House. I don't know when the last time I've seen anybody that had a lot of good and just a little bit of bad. I think there's enough bad and good in all of us. But what we need to do, as you all know, let's take the good and push it best we can. And let's take the bad, if we have any bad, and let's try to work with that. Because as you people know, if somebody does something right and doesn't push it, it's going to go by the wayside. If somebody does a little bit something wrong and it's not being pushed, it makes no difference, because the opposition party will push to make sure not only what was done will be let out, and I mean this for both parties, but either party will just push and push and push until they come up with facts that aren't truthful, that aren't honest, that aren't trustworthy. But see, most of the time, politicians don't give a damn. They don't give a damn about being trustworthy. They give a damn about getting results. And sometimes, getting results isn't the same as telling the truth. And I would say to that, that probably at most times, telling the truth is secondary. they, both the Democrats and the Republicans, at the end of the day, it's all about winning the election. Now, they can say what they want. They can say, no, it's not. They can say that the other side is pushing where they shouldn't be pushing. And both sides will say, hey, listen, we're in this for the good of the people. Now, I don't know how many times I've heard that in the last 10, 15, 20, 25 years, but I'll tell you, if I had a dollar for every time I heard it, I'd be worth a fortune, because you never hear anything from the start until you hear all we're here to do. And that's just not just the Democrats, that's the Republicans too. And it's not the rank and file Democrats or Republicans. It's the 2 or 3 or 4% that go around trying to make everybody vote Democrat, make everybody vote Republican. And I've said before, don't let anybody sway your vote. Don't let me or anybody. Listen to me. Listen to my opposition. Listen to anybody you want. That's your prerogative in this great United States of America. But at the end of the day, be smart enough, be intelligent enough to know that your vote will count. Your vote will count this election coming up. It counted last election, and it'll count for all the elections coming up after 2020. So you have to take it serious. You have to know at the end of the day, your vote, your family's votes, your friends' votes, people you don't know in the state that you live in, people you don't know all throughout this country, they all have to know that singly their vote is one vote, but collectively their vote can make a president, they can destroy a president, they can make a country, they can destroy a country. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. This is Bob Romanek, the Grim Reaper of Radio, and you're listening to the all-new KQQZ 1190 AM Insane Broadcasting, America's bi-state voice of freedom, Renegade Radio. And as always, we are proud, very, very proud to be the Patriot.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight.
Listening to Bob Romanek, the Grim Reaper of Radio, is like getting shot in the head. It only hurts for a little while. Then you die and the pain is gone.
From KQQZ 1190 AM, St. Louis, Missouri, USA, you're listening to Bob Romanek, the Grim Reaper of Radio.
This program intended for mature audiences.
The only thing worse than listening to Bob Romanek, the Grim Reaper of Radio, is perhaps getting your head severed. But then some will say it's a toss-up. Now, back to Bob Romanek, the Grim Reaper of Radio.
Who let the dogs out?
Hooter, 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 hooter.
Who let the dogs out?
Hooter, 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 hooter.
Who let the dogs out?
Hooter, 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 hooter.
Who let the dogs out?
Well, the party was nice, the party was pumping.
Hey-ya.
And everybody having a ball. Until the fellas start the name calling. And the girls respond to the call. I have a poor one shout out.
Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out?
This is Bob Romanek, the Grim Reaper of Radio, and you're listening to the all-new KQQZ 1190 AM Insane Broadcasting at its finest, America's bi-state voice of freedom, Renegade Radio. And as always, we are proud, very, very proud to be the Patriot.
Gonna take it. Oh, we ain't gonna take it.
is Bob Romanek, the Grim Reaper of Radio. Things could get better, but until they do, you know, at times they get worse. Lines are always open if we decide to take any calls. We are America's voice of freedom, definitely the Patriots. You can call toll-free 1-888-394-1430 on the east side, 394-1190. Don't call up cussing me out, telling me MF and you're going to kill me and come to the radio station. If you've got something semi-intelligent to talk about, give me a call. We'll be more than happy to talk about it. If not, don't. Hey, I want to go real quick and sort of real quick back to Missouri, where Governor Mike Parsons on Friday signed a sweeping piece of anti-abortion legislation. He says that critics and others argue will subject women to felony charges if they perform their own abortions. Now, I think, and I'm not up on everything that's going on in the state of Missouri, but again, as in Illinois, both the House and Senate have a majority controlled by the Democrats. In Missouri, it's just the opposite. The House and Senate have the majority control of the Republicans in the state of Missouri. So there's two totally different situations. And they're saying after 8 weeks, you won't be able to have an abortion, which includes no rape or incest. There's no rape or incest exemptions, which a lot of the Democrats feel is too extreme. And I haven't read it all. I'm going to, but I may agree with some of the Democrats on that, but they tell me that Parsons is sticking with it. I know he's had some big-time Republicans try to get him to veto the bill, but for whatever reason, Governor Parsons from the state of Missouri has signed the new legislation. And again, I don't know where it's going to go, if it's going to go anyplace, if there's going to be a big court fight, which there could be. I don't understand all the particulars. And I honestly don't think the politicians that vote on this crap, I don't think they understand a lot of crap that's going on. But they'll continue to fight. And what they'll fight for is not what they think's right or wrong. They're going to fight for whatever the majority of the big people in their organization say. They'll go both Democrats and Republicans, as always. There's enough shame and blame to go around. They'll call in all their state reps, their state senators. They'll come to a consensus, and if they have enough votes, they'll fight it. If they don't, they'll keep until they do have enough votes. And I don't understand. You didn't hit the... What? The button's one. Over there, Dean. Now hit it again. So anyway, it's amazing. It's amazing how this crap goes. And, we can't keep on top of it. But we'll follow that. And anything else that goes on that we need to address, we will. Also want to talk about over at Hazelwood. You know, for several years, they had the St. Louis Outlet Mall. And they had a lot of stores starting off, and it's been around, I guess, since 2003, 2004. Don't remember. But they're trying now to sell it, or they have sold it for $3 or $4 million. I'm sorry. They told me the price was $250 million. You hear me, people? The 1.2 million square foot St. Louis Mills Outlet Mall opened in 2003, right off Highway 370, just north of Interstate 270. It cost an estimated, again, $250 million to build, and promised 200 tenants, including a movie theater, a sporting goods store, and high-end shops like Saks Fifth Avenue. But by 2016, its occupancy rate was at 77%, a dozen points below the market average. And then this Namdar group bought it in February for the bargain basement price, get this people, of $4.4 million. The owner spent $250 million to build that. And it was sold in 2016 for $4.4 $4 million. Now everybody's fighting. Nobody knows, you know, what's going on. Jack Buck, I'm sorry, not Jack Buck, his son, Joe Buck, is trying to buy it through his group, and they want to put up a basketball, volleyball, football, lacrosse tournaments, all kind of crap. And it says that the St. Louis Convention and Visitors Commission has agreed to chip in $13.5 million to get it started. So I don't know where that's going to go. I know it's going to be a major fight, because they want to keep it. They want to keep the center opened. And the people that are trying to regain it, they don't want it open. They want to gut it and tear it down and make it a big sports complex, which, you know, may not be a bad deal for the St. Louis area. The St. Louis area definitely has a decent sports theme. But I don't understand how far this is going to go, how much further it's not going to go, but it just amazes me. 10, 12, 13 years ago, they billed this at $250 million, people. $250 million. And sell it for $4.4 million a couple years ago. And the stores that have been in there, they're starting to go out. But there's still stores in there that say that they're going to stay in there no matter what. So I would assume at the end of the day, there'll be a big... there'll be a big legal fight. I don't know how much money it's going to cost, but I would assume that the people that are trying to buy it, I think they're going to pay a lot more if they buy it from this Namdar group. They're going to pay a lot more than Namdar paid for it back in 2016 at $4.4 million. But I think it's going to be a cluster screw when it's all over. But I think they're going to fight. They're going to fight. Both sides are going to fight to see what happens. And I like... at the end of one of these articles, I've read several, that Mr. Buck has said that, you know, if we don't get this, we've got other places to go. Now, you know how that is. I've heard that. How many times have you people heard it? Somebody's trying to buy something from you, and you don't want to sell it for the price they want to give you. But it says that this Namdar group hasn't agreed to the deal, said both Buck and the city attorneys are still fighting it, but Buck says this weekend that he's willing to walk away. This is Mr. Buck. He says, "We've got another city chomping at the bit," Buck said. "This is a growing industry. We're going to be part of it somewhere. We hope it's here. We're very, very close to a settlement. But we realize there comes a time when you have to walk. And I don't know, and I don't think anybody knows if that time's here yet. But I think if people continue, I think if they continue to fight each other, I don't give a damn about the politics on all this crap. You know, we can have Republicans, Democrats working together. It doesn't make any difference. But it appears to me that if the Democrats are for something, the Republicans are against it. And if the Republicans are for something, the Democrats are against it. I don't know why this has happened like this. I don't know why it continues to happen. But it does, and until we can come together, and I say this sincerely, until we can come together as one people in this great country, it's going to continue. It's going to continue on a downward spiral. And I honestly think with these millennials coming up with the recreational marijuana, the medical marijuana, they're going to come up with now after marijuana, what about cocaine? What about this? You're going to see in the next 50 years, I won't be around, a lot of us won't be around, but you're going to see that nature's going to take its effect on all this, and I don't think in the next 50, 75 years that you're going to see the same country, and I don't know if it's good or bad. I think it's going to be bad, actually, because I think even though we'll still be a strong country, we're not going to be the strongest country in this great world, and I think at that point, you're going to see people tugging at us, you're going to see people pushing at us. And it's amazing that it has to go that route, but some people just don't give a damn. And if you don't give a damn, I don't give a damn. It's if it's in your life, in your business, in your recreational organizations. If you don't give a damn, at the end of the day, nobody else is going to give a damn. And if nobody gives a damn, it's going to be a hell of a fight. It's going to be a hell of a fight. But I'll tell you what we do. We've got some callers. I'm going to try to get to some more callers. We're tied up with callers. I get tired of talking, so we're going to take a quick break. We'll be coming right back. This is Bob Romanek, the Grim Reaper of Radio, and you're listening to the all-new KQQZ 1190 AM Insane Broadcasting, America's Bi-State Voice of Freedom, Renegade Radio. And as always, we are proud, very, very proud to be the Patriot.
Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up, stand up, don't give up the fight.
Listening to Bob Romanek, the Grim Reaper of Radio, is like getting shot in the head. It only hurts for a little while. Then you die and the pain is gone.
From KQQZ 1190 AM, St. Louis, Missouri, USA, you're listening to Bob Romanek, the Grim Reaper of Radio.
This program intended for mature audiences.
The Grim Reaper of Radio, death, and taxes. Three things you never really want to experience. Now, let's get back to Bob Romanek, the Grim Reaper of Radio.
Like trouble, but if it came along, everyone that knew him knew which side that he'd be on. He never was a hero for this county's shining light, but you could always find him standing up for what he thought was right. He'd say, you've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. Your own man, not a puppet on a string. Never compromise what's right and uphold your family name. You've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything.
This is Bob Romanek, the Grim Reaper of Radio, and you're listening to the all-new KQQZ 1190 AM Insane Broadcasting, America's Bi-State Voice of Freedom. And as always, we are proud, very, very proud to be the Patriot. Welcome, welcome, welcome back to the dark side. As always, we've got some callers. Let's go and try to get a couple. Go ahead, Bob. You're on the dark side.
Hey, good morning, Bob. First, I want to thank you for the unfiltered truth. And on behalf of myself and all the millions of listeners, we really thank you for telling it like it is.
Well, thank you, Bob. I appreciate that.
Bob, you know, one of the problems up there at Mills Mall about a couple of years ago, Cabela's was the big anchor store there, and
right.
they had to close off the entrance to the mall from their store because of the amount of theft that was going on there. Between the honkies and the niggers, you know, they come in there and they rob them off, and they basically run off their own store. And now the only way to gain access to Cabela's is in the front, in and out. But
isn't that amazing, Bob? Isn't that amazing in this great country?
Oh, it's terrible, Bob. You know, and they wonder why the stores are leaving in, like, North St. Louis and parts of North County. The Kankakee grocery stores there, or department stores, is because of the amount of loss. It's crazy.
Yeah. Well, what area do you live in, Bob?
South County.
Well, let me tell you, and I mean this for everybody, I think in the next 5 or 10 years, you're going to see probably 50%, maybe not because of theft, but you're going to see 50% of these brick-and-mortar stores go by the wayside, and everything, or most everything, is going to be on the Internet. Do you agree or not?
Oh, absolutely, Bob. You could see the trends. I think the only mall that's really maybe doing well is the West County Mall. They're up there on Manchester and 270. I don't even know how the one is up doing in Fairview Heights up in your area.
Not very good at all.
But malls are losing their prestige. The rents are high. The common area maintenance fees are through the roof, and I don't know how people could make a living and run a business out of them anymore, Bob.
Yeah. You know what? It's really... How old are you, Bob?
64.
Well, you're a little bit younger than I am. You know, we're never going to see it, Bob, but I would think in the next 50 to 75 years, this country's going to be totally different, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. I think our generation, Bob, the baby boomers, we grew up in the last best times this country had to offer. I really believe that, you know, coming in the 50s and, you know, until the late 60s, things started changing. But, you know, it was just a lot more innocence back then. Now that all the killings and everything, it just can't, there isn't a one day that doesn't go by that they're in the shooting in North St. Louis. Yeah. It'd be a miracle if there was no incidents one day in North St. Louis.
Yeah. You know, isn't it amazing? But, you know, that's the way it goes, Bob. Well, listen, you be safe in South County. You tell everybody we appreciate them listening all over. And hopefully we can make a little bit of difference before it's our turn to go. What do you think?
Amen to that, Bob.
Okay. Well, sir, you have a good day. And as always, thanks for calling. Thanks for the compliment. And keep the faith.
Yeah. God bless you, Bob. Take care.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate
thanks.
That.
Uh-huh. Okay.
You know, it's amazing. And Bob's right. He says he's from South St. Louis. And you can see these brick-and-mortar stores. They're all, a lot of them, going by the wayside. And I would say in the next 5-10 years that 50%, maybe 60 to 75% of all the major purchases are going to be over the Internet. And it may be sooner than that because they're pushing and pushing and pushing. And it's a shame that it has to be that way. But that's the way it's been. That's the way it's apparently going, and it's not going to change. I see back in Illinois that they want to make, they've got a bill, two Democratic state legislators have a bill that want to make the once great state of Illinois a sanctuary state. Now, you know what that's done for California and some of these other states, but they always want to talk, their crap that, hey, it's going to get... It's going to get done one way or the other. We're going to push it one way or the other. And it just amazes me. It amazes me how we can continue to let this crap go and say nothing about it. You know, you have a few people who say, well, no, we're not going to make this state a sanctuary state. But when you have most of the politicians that are for a sanctuary state, it's not what you want, it's what they want. And if they want a sanctuary state, they're going to have one. But I think at the end of the day, just like the brick-and-mortar stores going by the wayside in the next 5 or 10 years, I think you're going to see the same situation with these sanctuary states. They're going to say, hey, we're a sanctuary state. And a lot of the people are going to say, you may say we're a sanctuary state, but we're not. And I would think at that point, that's when you're going to see. And I advocate no violence whatsoever about religion, about race. None whatsoever. But there's going to come a point in time where people are going to say, if we continue down this road, there's going to be major problems. So we're going to have to do one or two things. We're going to have to stand pat, hold our ground, fight for what we believe in, or we're going to have to let it all go. And when we let it all go, that means everything they want, they're going to get. I don't think most rank-and-file Democrats, rank-and-file Republicans are going to go that way. Now, I could be wrong, but I honestly don't think so. So we'll continue monitoring that situation, because at the end of the day, it's not going to be pretty. We're going to talk some racial situations tomorrow. And again, I'm far from being a racist, but I'll be damned as a proud white man that I'm going to sit back and pay for something that happened 150 years ago. I'm not going to do it. I don't think you good people are going to do it. Maybe you are. If you do, you're going to have to fight your fight, because I'm going to fight mine. Again, don't advocate violence, but we're going to have to at some point in time, stand tall and strong, both proud white and proud black, if we ever hope to bring this country back. As always, people, it's time to go. So let's continue on our path. And thank you, people who we couldn't get to today, maybe tomorrow. But thank all of you for at least contemplating which direction you're going. Maybe you're going in the wrong direction, in my opinion, but at least you're going in a direction. So let's all continue, hopefully, to unite. And if we unite, if we understand what's going on, I think all of us, both proud white, proud black, proud men, proud women, proud Democrats, and proud Republicans, I think we can all come together and stop a lot of this crap before it stops us. So as always, let's continue to unite to expose these ass white bastard political parasitical perverted punks that we call politicians. And as always, at the end of the day, let's destroy them. Never any violence. Let's destroy them politically. Destroy them politically, of course, right here on the dark side.
All the way from Bootlip, I mean the Boot Hill of the Ozarks, Bob Romanek, the grim rapper of radio, with his brand new single, Nigga Nation. The grim rapper of radio will be performing at Snoots and More in St. Louis this weekend.
Word! This is not about the Emancipation Proclamation, but instead the low-life nigga nation. All the greasy, sleazy, violent niggers need immediate incarceration to save our great nation from extermination and annihilation through the perpetration by the nigga nation. All the nigga think about is demonstration and devastation. They got to say nigga this and nigga that, and all the good people think this is no more than defecation, especially when the nigga nation cries and screams reparation. A nigger phrase that means they want something for free, or if not, there will be a nigger congregation who in desperation will have criminal determination and expectation to destroy our great nation in violation of all of our laws. The nigger nation needs to quit selling all of the illegal deadly street medication and stop their impersonations of a porch monkey. This greasy nigger nation must finally get proper socialization and integration into a decent civilization instead of all of their thug intimidation. Why the nigger nation has an infatuation with violence and criminal association, no one knows. But if the nigger nation will act like they belong in our decent civilization, they will then get an invitation to be a respectful citizen instead of participation in all the violent confrontation. The nigger nation then needs to quit all that nasty fornication, popping out all those daddyless babies. Maybe the nigger nation ought to instead think about masturbation and copulation to the decent generation of both proud white and proud black population. The nigger nation will have a graduation from violence and then have a celebration, no longer being a low-life nigga of the nigger nation. If all this is done with proper determination, the nigger nation will then get vindication and a proclamation of dedication to quit being a nigger who wishes devastation on our great nation. But if there's any deviation from this dissertation, there will be ramification and then justification, not to give you a standing ovation or a paid vacation, but the ultimate criminal destination, a lifetime of incarceration. Now it's time for the break. Nigga. And I don't mean Negro. Nigga. I don't mean black man. I mean nigga. Drop the mic, bitch!
This is Bob Romanek, the Grim Reaper of Radio, and you've been listening to the all-new KQQZ 1190 AM Insane Broadcasting, America's Bi-State Voice of Freedom, Radical Radio, and we are, as always, proud, very, very proud to be the Patriot.
They're coming to take me away, ha-ha. They're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha. To the funny farm where life is beautiful all the time. And I'll be happy to see those nice young men in their clean white coats. And they're coming to take me away, ha-ha.
The Patriot.
Your First Amendment and All-American Station.
A division of Insane Broadcasting.
Renegade Radio.
KQQ.